Let us pray. God of certainty and Lord of all generations, out of the whirlwind you have called to us, bring rain upon the land, bring life to your creation, and bring clarity to our hearts and minds as we receive your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. In May 2014, Mark Ellis, the author of a website which publishes testimonies of missionaries, published an article in God Reports, which he entitled, "Missionary Died Thinking He Was a Failure." 84 years later, thriving churches found hidden in the jungle. The story is about Dr. William Leslie, a medical missionary in the United States of America, who went to live and minister to tribal people in a remote corner of the Democratic Republic of Congo. After 17 years, he returned to the United States, a discouraged man, believing he failed to make an impact for Christ. He died 9 years after his return. But in 2010, a team led by Eric Ramsey with Tom Cox World Missionaries made a shocking and sensational discovery. They found a network of reproducing churches hidden like glittering diamonds in the dense jungle across the Kwilu River from Vanga, where Dr. Leslie had been stationed. Dr. Leslie's goal was to spread Christianity, to build the kingdom of God in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And after 17 years, he felt that his commitment had only been an exercise in futility, that he was a failure. But the story suggests that the seeds he had planted were growing, even if they were growing gradually. Friends, I suspect that there are many people throughout the world who await Christ's return to set up the kingdom of God, but few know, just very few know, how he will do this, how the kingdom of God will be established on earth, or how God is establishing his kingdom. And in our New Testament reading this morning from Mark, I think Jesus sets out to teach his followers that the process of establishing or establishment of his kingdom and the results would be gradual, and that the beginnings may be small and even unrecognized, but the results will surely be great. And here Jesus uses two powerful parables to illustrate this principle: the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed. In the first parable, Jesus likens the kingdom of God to a seed scattered on the ground, and without any additional effort from anybody, the seed sprouts and grows. And in the second parable, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, which is planted and grows to become the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. According to Jesus, the manifestation of the kingdom of God is a slow and gradual process. It begins with the sowing of small seeds, but produces a huge harvest that provides security and hope to those who are in the kingdom. Friends, I think these parables are meant to encourage us to never give up, even when we feel that our efforts in spreading the gospel of Christ are not yielding results. This is because usually we expect to see the result of our endeavors materialize as quickly as possible, mostly by an increase in the number in our congregation, winning more people to Christ. When it does not happen as we expect, we become frustrated, sometimes disillusioned. So what really can we learn from this brief text? I think there are at least three lessons that the parables teach us. And the first is that these parables should give us hope that our labor in the vineyard of the Lord is never in vain. Maybe you are a committed Christian disciple who have been sowing seeds for a long time, trying to win people to the kingdom of God, but you do not seem to see any results, at least physically. These parables reveal that when we cannot see what transpires under the ground as the seed winters in the earth, we can become discouraged. Sometimes friends and family can easily make a mockery of us, particularly in a postmodern, hurried, pragmatic age that wants immediate gratification and results. And the slightest failure in our evangelistic campaign may drive us to a sense of hopelessness. But we need to remember that God is always at work, even in the spirit, working for the good of the kingdom. I think it is true to say that many discouraged ministers and lay leaders of the church suffer from myopic spiritual vision that makes one unable to see what God is doing in the soil and unable to envision triumph in what looks like utter failure. We cannot see into the next week, let alone eternity. And we can become impatient for God's purposes to come to fruition. But the parables assure us that when we sow God's seed, it will accomplish its purpose. We may not be the ones who harvest the bounty, but it is not our harvest. After all, Paul said to the Corinthians, "Who is Apollos and who is Paul? One sows the seeds, another one waters, another one makes it grow, but God is the one who takes the glory. It belongs to God." And so, friend, keep on sowing. And the second is the success of the seeds does not depend on our feeble efforts. Despite the assurance of the harvest, and no mention is made of its size, we are still left with a mystery of how it comes about, how the kingdom manifests. According to the parable of the growing seed, no further effort is needed from the one who sowed the seed. This means success does not depend on the one who preaches, but on God. Even Jesus did not have complete control over the harvest, who would be in it, or what would be its size. One therefore need only bear witness and not worry about creating a response. That does not mean that we are to be indifferent to how people respond to our ministries, but we do not need to try to manufacture a response. The seed grows without assistance. Please again, do not get me wrong. Jesus is not encouraging inertia or sloth. Remember, Paul the Apostle spoke of sleepless nights that he spent worrying about his churches. But the parables caution us from thinking that the kingdom is furthered by our grand schemes or our latest programs. Church growth experts are important, but the harvest remains under the sovereignty of God. Sometimes our frantic activity may be a smokescreen that hides our lack of trust in God. We feel we need to take control before God's will can be done. The parable allows us or teaches us to stop concentrating on what we need to accomplish or have accomplished and to reflect on what God is accomplishing. It encourages us to trust the seed to do what seeds do in the soil. Those of you who are committed to gardening would understand this principle better. And thirdly, the parable encourages patient faith. In a very fast-moving world, waiting can be intolerable. We are always in a hurry. As someone has remarked, some may expect to plow the field, plant the seed, reap the harvest, thresh the grain, and bake the cake, all in one worship service or in one evangelistic outreach. The parables do not promise instantaneous growth. God gives the growth, and it follows an appointed order that cannot be hurried or bypassed. One must learn to allow the seed to do its work, to allow the word to persuade and to convert. All anxiety is therefore superfluous, since events are out of human control. One needs to cultivate patience so that one can wait for God to bring about the culmination in its appointed time. And now, finally, the parable shows that the kingdom of God is a place of security and comfort for those who come into it. In the parable of the mustard seed, the seed grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Paul says in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat and drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I like these words very much from Matthew. Come to me, all you who weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you would find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Summarily, that is how the kingdom of God is. It's a place of hope. It's a place of comfort. It's a place where we put down our burdens. How do I apply this text this morning? Am I speaking to someone this morning? You are so anxious about the results of your discipleship. Perhaps you have been trying to bring someone into the kingdom and you think nothing is working. Sometimes you even think they are as stubborn as a mule. Please do not be discouraged. Keep on sowing the seeds of the kingdom. And remember that God is doing his work even when we are not seeing. There is a spiritual process going on. Or again, am I speaking to someone who has never ventured to sow a seed for the kingdom? That is, to try even to talk to anybody about Jesus Christ and your newfound faith or the salvation that you now enjoy? Can I ask you to begin sowing seeds in some place, because we are a kingdom people and it is our duty to participate in the realization and manifestation of the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom or of a kingdom to come is central to the Bible and the Christian faith. The power of God's kingdom is present and active in individual believers as well as collectively in the church and even in the world. But the kingdom has not yet come. It does not come until Christ does. And when it does come, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So it is with good reason that we pray, your kingdom come. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious Father, we thank you because you have spoken to us through the message of your holy word. Give us patience as we sow seeds for your kingdom and await the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Give us hope for a glorious day when you come with power from heaven, when you bring us to be with you, where there will be no pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, and when we shall enjoy eternity ever after in your presence. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.